Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for being here to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements. Take your red pad and pass it down. And we will be having a children's sermon on September the 28th with Clara. And you can still sign up for scripture readers on the table in the back. Teachers are needed for junior church, so you can see the BJ or Heather Perman for additional information. And if you signed up to help, it's like 3 weeks to have junior church. And so if you sign up and we get enough teachers, you probably would only teach about 8 or 9 times a year. So please be thinking about that. Donations for the food bank, I'll let you read about that. Movie and Heavenly Harvest Fellowship. Those are kind of separate, I think. But it's going to be held on October the 26th, and we're going to watch a movie after church entitled God's Not Dead, with hot dogs and popcorn and different things over in the CE building. And for the 3 weeks leading up to it, I'll be preaching a series on God's Not Dead. So hope that you'll come out for that. Fall Senior Day at Camp Crestville will be October the 29th. You can see B.J. Morrison for information on that. And mind you, that nursery is open. And Deacons gave me this morning. Deacons will be hosting a rededication of the fire pit that Patrick Teggy made for his Eagle Scout project. Please join us on October the 5th for a wonderful outdoor fellowship of cookies and tea around the campfire. Any questions, please see Kathy. Cookie donations will be gratefully accepted. That's also today that we're having communion, so the deacons are going to come down Saturday night and get the things prepared so they can just get it out of the refrigerator and bring it in. So it'll save them some time. And so we thank them. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn 278, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.
Thank you.
Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you
because you are gracious. We serve you because you have given us the gift of eternal life. Forgive us when we feel we have earned our salvation. Remind us that our forgiveness comes through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We are so grateful for your amazing grace. Help us to live lives that are worthy of this grace. Give us a desire to share the story of Jesus and his love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you've forgotten someone's name, ask. Okay, I got a couple of announcements I'd like to make. First of all, there's some free calendars on the table in the back. I don't know if I already said that or not. Jim brought in. And the last song, Hymn of Response, is not 282, it is 68. And I'll try to remember to announce that again. Also, I want to thank everyone for the luncheons. And for Lorraine Kelly stepping forward to be the leader of that. Had a nice luncheon Thursday, and I thank all the helpers, and thank Linda Meyer Lombardo for all the time and energy she spent being the leader of that. So thank everyone that had a hand in that, whether you made a pie, you came down and worked, or you prayed for it. We just thank you very, very much.
Thank you. responsive reading, 696, Psalm 24. Thank you, the hymnals. 696, Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Let us read in unison. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he? This time I ask the elder on the door to come forward with prayer requests, praise.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a prayer from Paul Kosherhook this morning for his wife Diane. She's going in for knee replacement on Friday. I have a prayer request from BJ for her brother Butch. He had heart oblation done this week, and she would like prayers for healing and a regular heartbeat. A prayer request from Suzanne Connors for Lynn Dodd, who needs strength and hope, and don't we all? Another one from Suzanne Connors for Bob Burt and his family. His father died suddenly of a massive heart attack. And I have a praise request this morning for Leonard, who celebrated a birthday this week.
I'll also add Lynn Love and her dad in our prayers, who has cancer. And let's lift up our church overall and the things we're trying to do and the series that's coming up, that maybe it'll touch some people's lives, especially some younger people. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice in it and be glad in it. We look at our troubles and our own life and we get upset sometimes and yell that life is not fair. Well, life isn't always fair. But you have given us salvation and the promise of eternal life. So help us look to you in times of trouble and hurt or anger. Whether it be financial difficulties, spiritual, physical, mental, whatever it might be. And let us not walk away from you, but grab hold of you and come closer. As you remind us that you are a generous God, a giving God, a loving God, and you have our best interest at hand. Help us hold on to our faith and move forward as individuals, as families, and as your church here at Glenshaw Valley. Thank you, Lord. Bless us as we seek to raise your name up and bless one another in our community. Touch all these persons who have been mentioned for prayer and listed in the valley and the newsletter and all the unspoken prayer requests. We come into agreement knowing that you not only hear our prayers, but that you do answer them according to who you are, is the God of everything. Of all creation. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, a screen song, Awesome God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your abundant generosity, especially of giving of salvation, calling us to be in a relationship with you and to be the church, those called out of the world to serve you. And I thank you for every person
that gives them the time, the talent, the energies of who they are for your glory. Not that their name would be lifted up, but that your name would be lifted up. And you would draw persons to you for that gift of salvation. For those who we may think deserve it, and even for those who think we may think do not deserve it. That is your generosity. Thank you, Lord. We love you. You are precious to us. Help us to be precious to one another. Lord, bless us this day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Nancy Baldwin will come forward and be our scripture reader for today. Remind you that you can sign up. And we're going to keep an extra copy of the scripture up here. Anyone ever forgets or be there, maybe in a little larger.
Morning. The scripture today is Matthew 20, 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon, and about 3 in the afternoon, and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." "But," he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired the last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Bless the reading of the scripture.
Some years back, there was an anonymous dialogue on the internet. It was aimed at parents. I could have saved this for Mother or Father's Day, but it went like this. Whenever your children are out of control, you can take comfort in the thought that even God's omnipotence did not extend to his own children. After creating heaven and earth, God created Adam and Eve. And one of the first things God said was, "Don't." Adam says, "Don't what?" "Don't eat the forbidden fruit." "Forbidden fruit? You mean we've got forbidden fruit? Hey, Eve, we've got forbidden fruit." "Eve, no way." "Yes, way." God says, "Do not eat the forbidden fruit." Adam and Eve ask in union, "Why?" "Because I am your father and I said so." Wondering why he hadn't stopped creation after creating the elephants. A few minutes later, God saw his children having an apple break. "Didn't I tell you not to eat the fruit?" Yeah. "Then why did you do it?" "The serpent made me do it." That was Eve's response. "She started it," Adam said. "Did not." "Did too." "Did not." Having had it with the two of them, God's punishment was that Adam and Eve should have children of their own. Thus the pattern was set, and it has never, ever ended. But there's another kind of squabble that is universal. If you're around children very much, or you have multiple children in your household, or you grew up with brothers and sisters, one declaration that you're surely going to hear sooner or later is, "That's not fair." Every parent has heard the anguished cries, "Her piece of cake is bigger than my piece of cake. I want one just like Johnny's." "You love him better than you love me." It's the oldest contention in society. That's not fair. Remember Adam and Eve's two boys, Cain and Abel? They brought their offering to God. For some reason, God accepted Abel's offering, but did not accept Cain's offering. That's not fair, Cain thought in his heart, and resulting in anger was a source of humanity's, unfortunately, very first recorded murder. We hear it not only among our children, but among adults as well. That's not fair. That's one of the reasons we have lawyers and judges, and if things get out of hand, we have police. It's the reason why some families are split after reading of a will. It's why some people will always feel victimized in our society, crying out, life isn't fair. At every layer of society, there's someone complaining. That's just not fair. Jesus told a parable about a landowner who went out into the early morning about 6 o'clock to hire workers for his vineyard. This was common practice in that part of the world, particularly during the harvest of the grapes. Storms could easily ruin the crop, and it was important to get the crop in quickly as possible. So for a time, anyone who wanted a job could find a job. The work was hard, working hours from dawn to sunset, which probably meant about a 12-hour day in the fields. And the wage was a standard one, a denarius, or a silver coin for a full day's work. A denarius could buy a family what they needed to stay alive, really no more or no less. It was not a lot of money. So a day's work and a full day's wage were essential for survival, to be able to eat. During the harvest, men who wanted to work could go to the marketplace and stand around and wait for someone to hire them. They could work the 12 hours and they would be paid at the end of the day so that each man would go home with money to buy food for that day for his family. If a man was unable to find work on a particular day, then his family may not be able to eat. If he found work for only a part of the day, they might be able to buy food, but not really enough to satisfy or to fill them up or to give them the nourishment that they really need. So this is not only about fairness. For some reason, for some of these workers, it is about the very act of survival. That helps explain some of the dynamics of the story, I think. The landowner went at 6 in the morning to hire workers. He agreed to pay these workers a fair wage, a standard wage, which was a denarius for that day's work. About 9 in the morning, he went back to the marketplace and saw some other men standing around doing nothing. So he said, obviously, there are jobs available. He told them, go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. And about 5 in the afternoon, the final hour it would be, he went out and found others standing around, and he told them to come work in his vineyard too. So from 6 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon, he's hiring workers. Now when quitting time came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first that were hired. Now the workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. Can you imagine how happy these men were? A full day's wages for 1 hour's work. Not a bad deal. They would be able to feed their family, pay their bills. Maybe they could keep the bank from foreclosing on their home. How in the world, under such circumstances, should they be hiding the joy and the happiness that they feel? Yet, this created a problem. When those who were hired first came to be paid and they knew how generous the landowner had been with those who had worked only an hour, they expected some type of bonus. Think about this not as a denarius for just a minute, but think if standing out and you're one of the workers and they're paying, let's say, $10 an hour and you start at 6 in the morning and you work to 6 in the evening. You expect to be paid $120. But if you come in at 3 or you come in at 5, and then the boss at the end of the day not only says pay them first, but pay them a full day's wages, go ahead and give them the $120 also. So everybody that worked during that day got the exact same wage. Can you imagine the disappointment of some of those workers that started early in the morning thinking, well, he paid these workers first who only worked an hour and they got a whole $120. We're probably getting paid last because we're going to get a bonus. Maybe we'll get $150 for the day. They began to grumble. Those who hired worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, have borne the burden of the sun and the work all day long. But the landowner answered one of them, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius, or let's just say $120 for the day? Take your pay and go. I want to give to the ones who were hired last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my money? Are you envious because I am generous? Then Jesus added these cryptic words, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now this is a parable, I believe, of the generosity of God. God pours out His grace full and completely to all who will receive it, who will open their hearts to it. We have labored in the vineyard as Christians, maybe 40, 50, 60 years, and someone comes in at the end and they join the church and they're going to get the same blessings as we get. Does that seem fair? They get to go to heaven when I've been a Christian for 60 years and they've been a Christian for a week and then they pass away or on their deathbed. Does that seem fair? But God pours out His grace without reservation and without regard to those who deserve it and those who don't deserve it. Because in actuality, none of us really deserve the gift of salvation. Grace exceeds everything we could ever hope for, everything that we could expect from God. If I have a great deal of money and I buy a piece of property on the beach, and I would love to do that. First front row house, open up the windows here in the ocean. But if you buy a house on the beach next to mine, maybe my house and my property is a little better than yours. But we're on the ocean, and we're looking out at that ocean, that vast expanse of water that covers a good part of the world. I might can buy this piece of land, but no one can buy the ocean. Grace is far greater than any ocean. Its depth, its width, its power. Grace is poured out in infinite quantities on you and me, and it is totally unearned. Whether we have labored for Christ for 50 years or 50 minutes, you still, if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, get grace and the promise of eternal life. All we have to do to receive God's grace is to open up our hearts to it and be receptive of what God is doing for us. And some people, it doesn't seem fair, but it's a fact. No wonder it's called amazing grace. Writer Philip Yancey tells about an incident that occurred a few years ago. Journalist Bill Moyer created a documentary based on the song, the hymn Amazing Grace. And one of the most unusual things seen in the film took place at a massive benefit concert in England. All the fans have been blasted with hard rock all day long. Their type of music, all excited. Strangely, the concert organizers scheduled an opera singer, Jesse Norman, to close out the day's music festivities. Doesn't make sense. But fans reacted negatively, were booing. But when she took the stage and she started to sing, this middle-aged black woman without any backup band, just her voice, after they'd been listening to all that hard rock all day long, she silenced the crowds with her opening line. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And soon thousands of rock people who listen to that rock music, rock fans, were singing Amazing Grace along with her. It's been said that there are more people who know the words to Amazing Grace by heart than know our national anthem. And I don't doubt that. That would not surprise me at all. Did many of you saw the movie that came out in 1990, a very powerful, moving movie entitled Saving Private Ryan? It's about an invasion of Normandy in World War II. And I think Reverend Ken Onstott has summed up this movie very, very beautifully. The movie opens with an elderly man walking through a cemetery perched on the hills of Normandy Beach where the Allied troops landed on D-Day. He approaches a grave at the cemetery and kneels down before it and begins to weep. Suddenly the movie jumps back 54 years to the day of the invasion, and for the next 20 minutes we watch one of the most horrifying war scenes ever filmed. Some 5,000 Allied troops were killed or wounded on the beaches of Normandy that day, and it seems like the movie shows every one of them in grotesque horror, anguishing personal detail. Finally, a beachhead is established, and for a moment, the troops are now safe. Then the real plot of the movie begins. 8 soldiers who survived the invasion are sent to rescue an American paratrooper named Ryan, who was dropped behind enemy lines. They go through harrowing experiences to find him. When they find him, several men lose their lives trying to rescue him. The last one killed is the captain of the unit, played by Tom Hanks. As he dies, he says to Private Ryan, "Earn this." At that moment, the movie switches back to the gray-haired man at the cemetery. And all of us, we realize that we're looking at Private Ryan. Now, in his 70s, he's kneeling before the grave of his captain. Slowly he stands up, turns to his wife, and says, "Tell me that I'm a good person." His wife is puzzled. She does not understand the question why he's asking this. But we who've been watching the movie understand it completely. We have the insight as to what is going on. He is asking her, "Tell me that my life has been worth saving. Tell me that I have fulfilled the purpose for which the captain gave his life." I think that's how many of us feel about our lives. We know that God's grace is free. Many of us understand that we have done nothing to deserve the grace, the salvation, the promise of eternal life that we have been given through Jesus Christ. And we know it cost Christ his life, a horrible crucifixion. And we hunger in our hearts to think that our lives live in response to his self-giving act of love. His death on the cross. And we hunger in our hearts to think that our lives lived in response to that act have meant something. That we somehow are worthy of the salvation. You know, amazing grace. It's really not fair if you think about it. It's just not. It's simply unbelievably generous. And I thank God for it, because I wonder if God wasn't so generous, would I myself have salvation? Would you have salvation? All of you, anyone has to do is open up to God's free gift. Say, "Christ, come into my life. I ask for your forgiveness. Be my Lord and my Savior." And you have the promise of eternal life, beginning here on this earth and then for eternity in heaven. If you have been saved, thank God for his generosity. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 68, "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy." Hymn number 68. Thank you.
be the sanctuary this day. Oh, that you think about God's amazing grace, the mercy and the love that you has been extended to you, to your friends, your family, to the world, for those who will accept and make our lives better. My brother lived 80 years with Christ and come to him at the end. So I could have been living with him and had his blessings in my life. But salvation is free. Whenever we receive it, hold on to it and believe and share your faith with others when you have the opportunity and relationship. Go from here in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.